Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And today I'd just like to share a couple verses with you, just showing you that God has given you everything you ever wanted. I hope that you are blessed by it and that you can see that you have everything you need in God, through the person of Jesus Christ. So let's just jump right in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness and your kindness, that you give us unconditional love that really just is just so powerful, God. I just ask that anyone listening would be filled with your Holy Spirit, and that they would know you more, and that they would believe your word, Lord. Lord, just give your power through the Holy Spirit, Lord, to anyone listening, God. In your name, amen. All right, let's jump right in. This is Psalm 21, verses 1 to 7. O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessing of good things. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you place upon him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. And through the loving kindness of the Most High, he will not be shaken. So verses 1 through 2 is really the foundation of where I want to start. That it says, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation how greatly he will rejoice. You've given him his heart's desire. And that's my contention today, that the salvation that God offers you through his son, Christ Jesus, it's great. It's something to rejoice about, and it's everything your heart could desire, everything. Well, he's given you your heart's desire, things you may not even knew that you desired. He's given it to you in Christ Jesus. And I want to share that with you and talk to you about all the ways he's done it. Verse 3 says, for you meet him with the blessings of good things. And there are many blessings and good things that God's given you. Let's just go over some of those things. That's the first thing that comes into salvation. Your sins are absolutely forgiven. That's one of the blessings. Ephesians 1:3, 7-8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in which in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and in all insight. Psalm 32:1-2. It says, how blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute wrong, and those spirit, and whose spirit is there no deceit. You have been eternally forgiven for everything you've done that you or will do. The Lord has perfectly wiped out every single mistake of your life. It's an amazing blessing to just really sit down and think about and ponder in. You are forgiven. You cannot do anything that God has not already forgiven. He's taken the bill of your life already. He's forgiven things you haven't even done yet. That's a blessing that's one of the blessings that come from this salvation. Another blessing is your adoption into a royal family. You've been adopted into something royal. It says in Romans 8:15-17, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by which we cry out, Daddy, Father. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. You're now able to be in God's presence. As Psalm 65:4, how blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your court. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. And not only that, but friends, you're a joint heir with Christ. You have the ability to be in God's presence with sins forgiven. You're a joint heir with Christ. You inherit along with him. Everything by just placing your total trust and dependence on him and his work on the cross. All of that is yours. No questions asked. In the world, you hear and read much about, royal families or wealthy celebrities who are left an inheritance by their parents. And sometimes you look at that and you just, you see the big deal about it. But you have a so much better inheritance. You're part of an exceedingly more wealthy family with God. And it cannot be taken away. It can't be taken away. You can tap into it right now by enjoying God's forgiveness, by trusting in His plan for your life as your dad, as your father, and by daily choosing to enter His presence. And just by just meditating on His forgiveness, just using that as a stepping stone to continue to move up and grow, trusting in His plan for your life, knowing that every circumstance you're in has been specifically set up by your Father, and He's in control, and just sitting in His presence, you can enjoy that inheritance right now. But guess what? You'll get to enjoy the full extent of it in the next life. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." So you're blessed. You are truly blessed. Let's move into verse 3. Another awesome thing about the salvation through the cross He's given you says, "You set a crown of fine gold in His head." You have a crown. You are a royal priest of God. A priest. And it's not just acceptable to King David when he's talking about this crown of gold. You have a royal priesthood. You are royalty. Revelation 1:5-6 says, "To Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom of priests to His God and Father, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." 1 Peter 2:9 further goes on and says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You are a priest. And what the priests do? Hebrews 10 says that they stood ministering daily and presenting offerings to the Lord. That's a privilege for you, that you can minister to God all day long. You can be praying for those around you and blessing them. You are important. You are important. God's given. That's a desire of your heart. Everybody wants to be efficacious. Everybody wants to be important. And God has chosen you. He's chosen you specifically and personally, you. And every day you're permitted to stand before Him as a priest and worship, praise, learn, grow, communicate, vent your feelings, make petitions and requests, and so much more than that. Every day you can do that, and even more, you can listen to God when He speaks to you. Other people need you as well as a priest, whether they realize it or not. You can pray for them, encourage them, teach them, love them, serve them, and bless them with the truth of Jesus. So that's an important standing. Verse 4, what else do we got in this salvation? He asked for life. He asked life of you, and you gave it to Him. Length of days, forever and ever. Life. Life, 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 friends. Jesus has so much to say about life. He has so much to say about the life He offers you when you accept and believe and walk with Him each day. John 10:10 says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 4:13-14 says, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.'" John 11:25-26 says, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not live. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You have a rich, abundant, and new life through God's salvation. And guess what? It's eternal. It's never ending. It lasts forever. It lasts forever. Life, it's all yours for the taking. That is a desire of your heart. I know that you've looked around and you've seen the death. You heard about cancer and all the different things that take people's lives and claim them. You've probably been afraid of aging or old age. And you've thought about life. You've thought about death. And I'm saying to you, you have life. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me shall not die, but shall pass from life into eternal life." You're going to miss death. Death is just simply a doorway. It's simply an entrance. It's like walking out of your room and walking into the living room. That's all it is. It's just a doorway. Aging, all those different things, they'll be over. God says in Revelation 20, He'll wipe away your tears. No more pain, no more suffering, no more mourning. That's life. You're going to be alive for billions and billions of years. That's a great gift of your salvation. Verse 5 through 6 says in the psalm, going back to it, let's continue. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you place upon him. For, actually, let's go, let's read 5 through 7, finish out the verse. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he will not be shaken. You have a peace with God. It says in verse 6 that you make him joyful with gladness in your presence. Well, you have a peace with God, friends. Peace, peace, peace. The world seeks after peace. Celebrities, people who have everything, kill themselves and commit suicide because they've got everything, but they lack peace. You have it. And it's not just any kind of peace. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You have a peace that is comforting and encouraging. It gives an ease of mind and strong confidence. And God tells you exactly, exactly to the T how you can enjoy and experience this peace that Jesus speaks of. Philippians 4:4-9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now check this out. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't let your anxiety, don't let your circumstances get in the way of the gift that God's given you through peace. Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. But he gave you another way out. He says, instead of being anxious, I'll tell you what you should do. Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek him first. Here's what you should do instead of being down and out about whatever bad news you heard, or whatever good news you heard, or whatever thing that's stressing you. Seek the kingdom of God first. Paul's just repeating it over again in Philippians 4. But Jesus said it. Seek him first, and you will get that peace. You will get that peace. And you have a peace, friends, that gives boldness and it erases fear. Why? Because you must consider the love of Christ if you're truly to rest in his peace. And the love is his free salvation towards you. It's not based on your behavior. It's not conditioned on what you have done. It's solely based on his kindness, his sweetness. You can't mess it up. You can't mess up your salvation. You can't lose the free gift. You can't revoke your salvation or status with God. You cannot do it. And this gives you the confidence and the boldness that you need for this life and for the next life. 1 John 4:17-18 says, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So look at all these, I mean, great things that God's given you. God's given you everything you ever needed and more through his salvation. He's given you eternal blessing, unconditional love, a royal status, priesthood, unimaginable peace, a godly confidence, a godly fearlessness. It's all yours for the taking. But don't make the mistake of thinking that simply having Jesus is enough to experience this abundant life. Sure, believing on him, it's the only prerequisite you need to from escaping the torment of hell. But to live victoriously, fully enjoying your salvation and making the most of it, you've got to put him on. You have to trust in him, believe in him, obey him, put the effort into your faith. Remember, the effort's not for salvation. God's already freely given that to you. It's not for holiness. God works that in you. It's simply to know him. Simply to know him. So I encourage you to enjoy your salvation in God. And if you don't know the salvation of God, please let me tell you, it's been offered to you through his son, only through his son, not through religion, not through good deeds, not through being in the choir when you were a kid, not through your parents' faith or your grandparents' faith, or it's not through a denomination. It's through personally accepting Jesus and being born again, becoming a new person, having an inward transformation. That is how you get the salvation. And then everything I spoke about, it's yours for the taking. Everything. No hell, no fear of death, no emptiness. None of those things have to be yours when you accept Jesus Christ. Now, many people do accept him, and they end up walking and living life as if they didn't, because they didn't put him on. They didn't trust him. And I'm saying to you, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him and walk with him. And when you stumble, go back to the cross. Ask forgiveness and continue on. It's the upward call, forgetting those things that were behind, but focusing on those things that lay ahead of you. So, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would bless anyone who heard this message with your spirit, God, and that they would believe in you and want to come to know you more and deeply and realize that it's not a game, Lord. The day is coming to an end, Lord. And God, you've been merciful with us for years, for thousands of years, Lord. And the time is coming that you will stand up off your throne and you will take what's yours, Lord. And I pray that we'd all be ready, Lord, and we wouldn't be ashamed in that day. And we would take this salvation seriously. We take this life seriously, God. And that we'd fear you, Lord, and know that you've prepared a hell for every one of us that we all deserve, for the angels that rebelled against you, Lord. But you've provided a way for us to escape that, and not only to escape hell, but to live heaven right now with you and forevermore with you, that you love us so much, God. I pray that we would know that here together. Lord, I glorify you according to your name. Amen.